In him was life, and that light was the light of men. Those who dwelt in darkness have seen a great light. The word of God is life. The word of God brings light. Experience the wisdom, presence, and the power of Jesus Christ through the ministry of his servant, Jonathan Lagan. Welcome to Pneumatech.
And tonight in our midst, in this year's Women of Valor Conference, God has sent us another pastor from a distant land. Amen. To bring the word to us. And I'm excited to have her come visit us and then be part of what God is doing here. Barrister Mrs. Jagila. Allow me to say the full name first now. Amen. When I make one sentence, then you shout. When I make the other sentence, amen. But it's better I have women. Yeah, if you were men, they would just sit down and be looking at you. Amen. Barrister Mrs. Jagila Buba. I hope I got it. She's a woman of God. She's a woman of God with grace, anointed. Please reduce the keyboard. And I've just known her for about a year, but we've had a very strong relationship over time. Spirit-filled. A mother, a wife, a career woman. She's also a barrister by profession. Amen. And there's so much I can say about her. So you know that she's spiritually and mentally equipped by God. But because this is the first day, I would skip many of those introduction formalities just so that we can have a flow. Maybe tomorrow I'll make an elaborate introduction, but I want her to come up so you can be blessed. Amen. And she's here with us all the way from the city of Abuja. Amen. She came with a dear friend of hers who is also a minister, and I won't introduce him. Maybe when she comes up, she will do that. And the last thing I will say is she's a direct daughter of one of our patriarchs in the faith, Apostle Joshua Selman. Amen. So you can be sure of what you will receive. Amen. So please rise on your feet and make welcome for the first session this evening, Barrister Mrs. Jagila Buba. Give her a big Pneumatech welcome.
You may have your seats in the presence of the Lord. Women of valor, are you excited to be in the presence of God tonight? Are you excited to be in the presence of God tonight? Why don't you give Jesus a loud shout of praise? Amen. I bring you greetings in the name of Jesus Christ, who is the head of the church. And on behalf of my spiritual father, Apostle Joshua Selman, he sends his love and his blessings to celebrate. I also bring you greetings on behalf of my family in Abuja. They are sending their love and their regards. Please help me celebrate my brother, Minister Pius Raji, who came from Abuja with me. Please just rise, let them see you. Thank you. Thank you, thank you. I also have a brother of mine here, Brother Bernard. He came with his wife. Please help me celebrate him. Thank you. Thank you so much. Apostle, I truly want to say thank you for the privilege, for the honor, for this opportunity to share the word of God with my sisters. It takes a lot for someone to believe in you and to give you his platform. This is an exalted altar, so I do not take it for granted. I'm really grateful, sir. Thank you so much. I want to say thank you to the hospitality team. Since I arrived yesterday, actually for many of you who may not know, Maiduguri is home for me. I was born and I was bred in Maiduguri, so I'm one of you. But from my arrival, it has been nothing short of amazing. They've been taking care of me, the hospitality, the love, the honor. It has been amazing, and I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you so much. In 1 minute, I know we have prayed, but let's just go ahead and pray again. In 1 minute, go ahead and ask the Lord for an encounter this evening. Father, give me an encounter by your word and by your spirit. Go ahead and ask him for an encounter, that you will not leave here the same way you came. Go ahead and pray over the spirit of distraction. Come against every spirit of distraction. Father, we give you all the glory. For in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. This is your amen. I don't understand though. In Jesus, you people should not be tired though. We are just starting. Alright. Honestly, I was very excited when I received the theme for this year. And the theme is titled, Women on the Front Lines. And when I received the theme, I started to prepare. And I thought, okay, this is right up my alley. Women on the front lines. I'm a woman on the front lines. So, of course, I'm the right person for this year's conference. However, the Lord will take me through a journey of unlearning and relearning. And the Lord will tell me that your idea of the front line is not my idea of the front line. So immediately, I was in a school and the Holy Spirit started to teach me what I'm here to teach you tonight. And so when we say women on the front lines, what do we exactly mean? What is the front line? And for many, the front lines is often seen as a place of battle. It is the first point of contact when you are in a war. So if you remember in those days, those of you that are movies, series lovers, when the gladiators are fighting, you know that the front line on both sides is either the place of attack or defense. So if your front line is not strong, if you don't strategically position people on the front lines of the battlefield, you're on your way to either lose, that is if you don't prepare properly and position people well, or you're on your way to victory, depending on what tactics you use. And if you look at the battle between the Israelites and the Philistines, all they needed to do was place Goliath on their front lines. And it took 40 days. 40 days. Nobody from Israel could attack. Because what Goliath did was he continued to taunt them. He continued to insult them. He continued. And the Philistines were so happy because they felt finally these Israelites, we have won. However, it took a man named David, a young shepherd boy who had no skill, had no qualification. He was not a warrior. When he got there, he said he was going to fight, and his brother said, David, go back home. But he knew who was behind him. He knew that the God that he served is better than Goliath, is bigger than Goliath. And tonight I'm here to tell you that the God that you serve is bigger than your problems. The God that you serve is bigger than your limitations. And I just want you to open up your heart as I speak to you tonight. So the first definition that I have for the front lines is that it's a place of war, is where the battle is determined. However, that is not my message for tonight. Secondly, while I was still preparing, then I said, well, but the front line is a place of influence, is a place of power. That is where, when they say in the world now, when we're talking of the secular world, when you say the front lines, your first thought comes to, the first thing that comes to your mind is the celebrities, the people that we know, the women that we see. You know, the Hillary Clintons, the Michelle Obamas, the Ngozi Okonjo-Iweala's, you know. Those are the people that we see. And maybe for those of us in ministry, the Mommy Geos, those are the people we look up to. We want to be like. So they are the people that history does not forget. They are the people that when you're talking of wealth, you're talking of influence, they are the ones that you see. However, that is also not what I'm talking about tonight. So the Holy Spirit will tell me that in this kingdom, the front line is a place of alignment and a place of assignment. That is what the Holy Spirit told me. And so I had to unlearn, like I said, and I had to relearn, because everything I knew automatically changed. My idea of the front line automatically changed, because now we're talking about alignment and now we're talking about assignments. And if you would see in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 18, Apostle Paul will say, we do not look to the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. So the Mommy Geos that we see, the wives of the president, the wives of the governors, the women in politics, in business, the women that everybody celebrates, that is temporary. But the things that we do not see are eternal. And what are those things? Those are the women who are aligned with the will of God concerning their lives. So if you are a Mommy Geo, sorry if there's any Mommy Geo here, but if you are a Mommy Geo, if you are a president's wife, a minister, whatever position you are playing, if you are not in alignment with the will of God, it means that you're on your own. So I've come here to tell you tonight that it's not about who you are or who people see or assume you are or what people say. You could literally be the person who cleans this sanctuary. But if you are in a place of alignment, you are a woman on the front line. I don't know if you caught that. So if you are a sanctuary keeper, don't feel like, but Apostle does not even see me. When they are doing leaders meeting, I'm not even there. He doesn't even know if I came. He doesn't even know my name. It's not about Apostle. Because even Apostle submits to somebody else who is the King of Kings. So it's about what the King of Kings says you are and where you are supposed to be. And so for tonight, I title my topic, Alignment, the Foundation for Your Assignment. If you're writing, you can quickly write that. Alignment, the Foundation of Your Assignment. And the first scripture that I have here is Daniel 11 verse 32b. And it says, but the people that do know their God, they shall be strong and they shall do exploits. And the next scripture I have here is John 15 verse 4 to 5. And it says, remain in me and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine. And you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. This is NLT translation. And so verse 5 says, yes, I am the vine and you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Say, apart from him, I can do nothing. So what does it mean to be in alignment? And I wrote here that alignment means to be strategically positioned and to be in agreement with the will of God, with the word of God, and with the ways of God. So we are going to start the self-evaluation. We are going to start the unlearning and the relearning. So if you are not in agreement with the word of God, if you are not in agreement with the will of God, if you're not in agreement with the ways of God, it means you're not in alignment. So you can start assessing yourself now. And you keep that answer to yourself. And so, if you're not in alignment, and if you're not in agreement with the will of God, with his ways and his word, it means that you're the driver of your destiny. It means that you've literally said, God, I don't need you to direct me. Let me just control myself. And you know, as I was preparing, what just came to my mind was wheel balancing and alignment when it comes to vehicles. I know the men are more experienced here. Me, I'm not really, but I know that there is something called wheel balancing and alignment. That is that when you change your tires, you have to take the car for alignment. Because if the tires, if they are not aligned, it means that you will be driving straight and your car will be going sideways. I hope I'm correct. Yeah. And this is a vehicle. This is just a stationary man-made thing. But you see, sometimes when you look at the people that do these things, you know that some of these things that are done in this world system is inspired by the Holy Spirit. And it is just to give us a typical example of a life of a person who is not in alignment with the will of God. Because if you are not in alignment, the Holy Spirit will be saying, go left, you are going right. You'll be saying, stop, you are moving forward. He'll be saying, go back, you are sitting down. And I'm sure you already know what that would look like if you are living a life whereby you cannot hear the voice of God. It means that, you know, whatever you are doing, literally, you are on your own. Or you're, as they say it. So why does it matter to be in alignment? Why do we have to be in alignment? Why is it important for us as believers to be in alignment? And I wrote three reasons here. And I said that the first reason why you should be in alignment is that it determines your direction. Just like I explained with the vehicle example. And so the scripture says in Psalm 32 verse 1, it says, can I have Psalm 32 verse 8. Okay. It says, I will instruct thee and I will teach thee in thy way which you shall go. Exactly. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. That's the Bible. So it means that if you are with God, he would teach you in the way you should go. So even when things are not going the way you think it should go, because you are in alignment, you have peace of mind. Why? Because you are with God and he's teaching you in the way you should go. And the Bible also says in Proverbs chapter 4 verse 18, it says the path of the just is as a shining light. So it means that when you are in alignment with God, when he's teaching you where you should go, whether the path likes it or not, it must be as bright as a shining light. I hope you get me. So it doesn't matter where you are, whether you are in Maiduguri, or you are in the village, or you are in Abuja. And by the way, I hope you know that Abuja is not really the city of gold mines or whatever it is that people say. because there are many of you that your lives here in Maiduguri is more comfortable than people who are living in Abuja. So that is why alignment is very important. Because you might be thinking, I want to go to Abuja. I want to go to Lagos because that's where everything is happening. I want to relocate. For most of us right now, especially my generation people, what we want to do now is Japa. We want to leave Nigeria. And I don't know why we want to leave Nigeria, because we want to leave Nigeria for who? You know that the God that made you a Nigerian is not an author of confusion. So if he brought you from Nigeria, I don't know why you should want to go somewhere else to be a second class citizen. But that is a lecture for another day. So another reason why alignment matters is because it preserves your destiny. Alignment preserves your destiny. And the Bible says in Psalm 37 verses 23 to 24. And I have Psalm 37, 23 to 24. Media. Okay. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his ways. My emphasis is actually on 24. It says, though he falls, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. Please, let's just leave that there. So the Bible is not unaware that you will fall as a man. It's not. Because it is rightly captured that though you fall, so as you travel this journey of life and destiny, there are going to be instances, and the falling is not a literal falling, but it means that in your shortcomings as a man, though you may be angry, though you may fight, though you will quarrel, I will uphold you with my hand and I will guide you. So what it means is that if you are in alignment with God, though there are moments where you might make a mistake, because you are in alignment with him, the preservation that he has over your destiny will keep you. And that is why even when Boko Haram happened, you did not die, because you are still here. That is why when the flooding happened, you did not die, because some people died. Abi, but you are still alive. That is why it is important to be in alignment. Now, lastly, I said that another reason why it is important to be in alignment is that it births clarity of assignment. If you're writing, please write that down. It births clarity of assignment. And we'll be looking at Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5, which is a very, it's a scripture that I believe everybody knows. Yes. It says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you and I ordained you a prophet to the nations. And so when you are in alignment with God, you will know why he brought you to this world. Because many of us don't even know why we are here in the first place. Some of you feel you are just here to be attending church service. That's not it. That's not your assignment. Some of you think you are just here to just add numbers. Well, I'm really sorry if that is how you see yourself. But everybody that is on this earth, that came to this earth before you were formed, he knew you. And so you are not a mistake. Nobody sitting here is a mistake. I know some people, they will say, oh, my parents said they did not plan for me. Oh, it was by accident. Nothing happens by accident. Because the God we know is an all-knowing God. So nothing catches him by surprise. So if you are here tonight, if you are in this world, it means that there is an assignment for you. And you need to discover your assignment. Fortunately, this is a two-part series. And tomorrow we will actually be discussing about assignment. Discovering your assignment. But tonight, we're going to delve in the matter of alignment. And so quickly, I would like to give an example of two women in the Bible. Ordinary women that happen to be in alignment In fact, the funny thing is that for one of them, we don't even really know about her. In fact, the Bible calls her a certain woman. And let me have Judges chapter 9, verse 50 to 54. You know, when I was reading about her, I was like, But the Bible did not even, there's no name. It did not name her. It did not say her family. It did not say the tribe she's coming from. It did nothing. All the Bible says is a certain woman. Media, please help me with Judges 9:50 to 54. And so this certain woman, this was the time of Abimelech. Let me just do a little crash course for us. Abimelech is one of the sons of Gideon, and so he killed his 70 brothers, apart from Jotham, who disappeared. And so he went to his people and he told them he wanted to be their king. Not 15, 50, 50, 50. And so he told them he wanted to be their king. So it says, then Abimelech went to Thebes, and he encamped against Thebes and took it. But there was a strong tower in the city, and all the women and all the people of the city fled there and shut themselves in. Then they went up to the top of the tower. So Abimelech came as far as the tower and fought against it, and he drew near the door of the tower to burn it with fire. But a certain woman, a certain woman dropped an upper millstone on Abimelech's head and crushed his skull. Please let me just have that scripture there. You know, when I saw this scripture, I was like, first of all, what is an upper millstone? You know, me, I'm a lawyer, so we like to do research. And I went to research what an upper millstone is. In those days, an upper millstone is something they used to grind grains. You know, and I thought about it. I said, that tower is actually a tower of refuge. So in those days, every city had a tower where people will run to when the city is under attack. And I started to think, but why would an upper millstone be in a tower that is a place of refuge? And then I said, okay, well, maybe somebody forgot it there somehow. But then I was like, these people were under tension. It was a war situation. Abimelech was about to light up that tower with fire. So it means that these people were between life and death. But this certain woman, for some reason, had the courage. And she said, let me throw this stone. Now, what if she missed Abimelech's head? Have you thought about it? What if she missed Abimelech's head? But it so happened that when she dropped that upper millstone, it landed on his head. Like he did not even move. He did not. And the Holy Spirit said alignment. That certain woman was in alignment. And so she was a vessel that he used to bring down the enemy. And so tonight I decree that somebody is going to be in alignment, and God is going to use you to bring down strongholds. Strongholds in your family. Family patterns. Patterns of mediocrity. Patterns of poverty. Patterns of rising and falling. Patterns of stagnation. If you are that person, why don't you shout amen? Hallelujah. And the second lady, another lady. Her name is Jael. And that will be in the book of Judges again. This is Judges. You know, I didn't know, because anytime I heard of the book of Judges, it was always Deborah. Deborah was always the one. And I wondered, how come I've never heard about these two women? Because really, I've never heard about them until now. And so Jael in the book of Judges, Judges 4, 17 to 22, for the sake of time, because actually I have a lot to cover here. But this is another person, Sisera. He was the captain of the army of the Canaanites. And so God raised Deborah as a judge. And he told her, go and get Barak. Tell him to gather 10,000 men and go and fight these people. And you see, men, don't be shifting your place of authority to women. No. Because as I was reading, I saw that what Barak did was he said, Deborah, if you will go with me, then I will go. But if you will not go with me, I will not go. Do you know what that reminded me of? The Garden of Eden. When man fell, and when God came, and he said, Adam, where are you? And when he said, I have sinned, and he said, who told you? We know the story. But then he said, the woman who you gave me. So he transferred authority to the woman. And that is what Barak did here. And so Deborah told him, she said, because of this, the victory is going to go to a woman. It's not going to go to a man. But he thought, it's you now, no problem. So let's go. And so they started going. However, Deborah was not even the main actor in this movie. It was Jael, a lady that was just sitting down near her tent. And you know the funny thing is, Jael, apparently her husband is related to the king of the Canaanites. So the Sisera, that is the commander of the Canaanites, her husband is related to him. So when he ran away, because of course Barak, you know, everything that happened, then their chariots were caught up in the mud and all of that. So he, as the army of captain of the army, fled. And so he came to the tent of Jael. And as he saw Jael, so now let me have from, let me see, maybe 20. Judges 4. I want to read it the way it is in the Bible. I don't want to give you people gist. Okay, so let's start. Maybe 19. Okay, no. 18. Okay. So, my super story has reached here now. Said, and Jael went out to meet Sisera. And she said to him, turn aside, my lord. Turn aside to me. Do not fear. And when he turned aside with her into the tent, she covered him with a blanket. So she escorted him into her tent. And of course, he felt, okay, this is one of our own, so I'm safe. 19, okay, thank you. Then he said to her, please give me water to drink, for I'm thirsty. Jael decided to give him milk. Who asked her? They asked her for water. Water, give me water to drink. Jael said, my lord, don't worry. You are in a safe place. Just be comfortable. Let me give you milk. It's not even water. And so she gave him milk to drink. And he drank. And he said to her, stand at the door of the tent. And if any man comes to inquire of me, and they say, is there any man here? Tell them no. And Jael said, yes, sir. No problem. It's all right. And as he lay down to sleep and she covered his head, Jael took the tent peg and a hammer in her hand. And she went softly to him and drove the peg into his temple. And it went down into the ground, for he was fast asleep and weary. So he died. This is the commander of an army. An army that has been terrorizing people. But what did it take? It took Jael, a woman that even her husband, I'm sure if she said, I killed Sisera, he would say it's a lie. And when Barak eventually came, she said, come, the man that you are looking for, I have him. And I'm sure he thought, okay, maybe they just subdued him, maybe they tied him, maybe. But Barak came and met a dead Sisera. And I'm here to tell you people that these are two ordinary women. Ordinary. I'm making emphasis on that ordinary. Two ordinary women. They are not warriors. They don't have skill. They don't have qualification. They were not meant to be fighting a battle. They were not even prophets. Even the Deborah that was a prophet, that even prophesied and even went to war, she was not the one who brought him down. These were two ordinary women who became instruments of God's justice in a time of crisis. And I'm saying this tonight, and I believe that the Holy Spirit is already quickening some of your hearts, because you know that Maiduguri is often associated with problems. And so I want you to know that wherever you are on assignment. And so sometimes God might even give the enemy in your hand, but because you don't know and you are not aware, the enemy will just escape. You will even help the enemy to escape. But I decree that tonight, God is raising women. God is raising women who will step into divine alignments, and they will become instruments. Instruments that he will use in the area of business, in the area of education. I'm not sure you people are hearing. In the area of family, that you will raise families, you will raise children that will be patterned according to the system of God. You will be in the education sector, and because you are a teacher in that school, no child is allowed to die under your watch. That you will be a doctor and you will be a nurse, and in the surgery room, because you are there, even when somebody is about to die, you begin to declare, you begin to speak in tongues, and you say, not under my watch, this life is not going. If you are one of that woman, I'm not sure that you are getting what I'm saying, but if you are one of that woman, I want you to just blast in the Holy Ghost for 1 minute. Karada baba shekadabai, rebosi kadaba shekadabai, rada baba 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 kadabai, marasata kataba baba baba baba, rebosi kadabai. Radakata baba 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 baba, redekete bosi kadaba, marasata kadaba baba 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 kadaba. Women of valor, I'm surprised you're still sitting down. I'm surprised you're still sitting down. Rebosi kadaba, radakata bashi kabarasata, rebosi kadaba, rakata baba 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 kadaba, maradakata baba shi kadaba sata, rebosi kadaba. Mothers, are you praying for your children? Mothers, are you interceding for your children? Sisters, are you praying for your family? About alignment and the stories that I've given you will all be in vain if you do not know this one thing, that you do not have a knowledge of God, because you must know God. And so before you can even hear him, you must know him. And like I read in Daniel 11 verse 32b, it says, and the people who know their God, they shall be strong and they shall do exploits. So if you are not doing exploits, I don't know the God that you know. If you are not strong, you have to check the God that you know. You know, everybody thinks they know God, but I've come to give you another news, that you have to check which God you actually know. Because your God can be both lion and lamb. Your God can be both father and a disciplinarian. I hope you know. So you need to know which God you are working with. Because depending on the God that you are working with, that is the result that you will see in your life. And so I wrote here that knowing God is a proof of your alignment. And I said that the dimension of God that you encounter is the revelation that you will show the world. So if you know a weak God, that's the God that you will reveal to your world. If you know a God that is associated with poverty and mediocrity, that is the God that you will show. And you know, people wonder at times why believers are not respected. People wonder at times why people don't rate us. But the reason they don't rate us is that we don't know the God that we are representing. Because if you know the God that you are representing, if you know that your God is an excellent God, then you will be far away from mediocrity. You know that when you come and see things being done haphazard, you know, I don't have association with this thing, not because I don't want to, but because the God that I know is a God of excellence. He is a God of wisdom. He is a God of beauty. And so it doesn't matter what people tell you about yourself. What matters is what God tells you about yourself. And quickly, before my time runs out, I wrote out 3 ways that you can know God. And the first way that you can know God is salvation. Please let me have John chapter 3 verse 3. Salvation. Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Can I also have 2 Corinthians 5:17? "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." I know that these are scriptures that we are very conversant with, but I don't want us to take it lightly when we talk about being born again. Because being born again is not actually a joke. Being born again is a decision that you consciously make. And so if you gave your life to Christ when you did not even know what it meant to give your life to Christ, you have to do it again. Because it is a conscious decision. It is a covenant that you enter with God. And so the first place where alignment begins is when you are reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. And later we will give an opportunity for those who want to either rededicate or realign or come back to God. Like I said, an altar call is not a decision that you take casually or for granted. But you must know God. You must be reconciled with Him through Christ, because without that you cannot hear Him. Without that you cannot see Him. Without that you cannot have a relationship with Him. And so salvation is our first point of contact. Now the next level is transformation. Let's have Romans chapter 12 verse 2, please. Okay. It says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Emphasis, renewing of your mind. "That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." But my emphasis tonight is renewal of the mind. So how can you know God? The first level, like I said, is salvation. But you see, salvation is just step one. And for many of us, we have been between step one and zero. Step one and zero. Today we are saved, tomorrow we go back. Next tomorrow we come, tomorrow we go back. Then we stay on salvation. We have not transformed. We have not translated, or should I say, we've not been promoted to the next level because of the issue of transformation. And so, I said renewal of your mind changes how you think. It changes your thought patterns. It changes how you see things. It changes the way you view things. And you know, transformation is one school that nobody ever graduates from, at whatever level you find yourself. Because when you think you have arrived, then the bar is lifted. And so you must catch up with the bar that has been lifted. And that is why you see that even in today's world, when we started before, if you had a Nokia 3310, you were a big boy. You were a big girl. But today, that one is a story for another day. The same thing with BlackBerry. I remember during my university days, if you now have BB pin, I don't know, maybe some of you don't know that time. And let me not be talking before I'll be exposing my age. But that time, BB pin, if you do not have BB pin, you are not the happening people. They'll just push you aside. But then now, we have Android. We have, so now it's WhatsApp. If you are not on WhatsApp, you're not a big girl, if you're not on TikTok, if you're not on Instagram, if you're not on Snapchat, you know, the kind of places we want to be. TikTok, every day we are doing video, we are dancing, we are doing content, content like they call it. So you see that even in the secular world, there's transformation because things continue to change. We are catching up, and today we are in the world of AI. And if you don't catch up with AI, you will be left behind. So if that is happening in the world, that's the cosmos, what happens to your spirit man? You must be transformed. You must press for transformation. And how do you press for transformation? One, prayer. I'm not going to enter that because that will be a topic for tomorrow. Two, the word. Three, the things you listen to. Messages, what do you listen to? What messages am I listening to? What do I spend most of my time on? And I will give a quick story. You know, before, maybe 2 years ago or 3 years ago, you cannot argue with me about Big Brother. You see Big Brother Africa and Nigeria. The moment Big Brother is starting, from that Sunday to the last Sunday, we pin me, even in the office, I have Big Brother on my phone. As I'm doing work, we are still checking. Hey, what's happening? What did they do? And I spent, you know, and like I said, you cannot argue with me because I will give you justifiable reasons why Big Brother is not a problem. Me, I would defend it for you. But you know, and this is why transformation is good. Because as I started to encounter God and I started to walk with God, the Holy Spirit told me, so this time that you are spending watching these people, do you not know that people should be watching you? I'm not sure you got that. The Holy Spirit said, this 3 months, Abby, I can't remember now, 90 days, something like that, 24/7, camera is on them. And the Holy Spirit said, these people you are wasting your time and your energy on. Do you not know that if you submit yourself to my training, I will train you, I will equip you, and I will make you become better than them. The world will watch you. The world will see you. And this is just the beginning. So I'm here to encourage somebody today. Press for transformation. Press for transformation. Transformation translates you. You become a new man. The things that you are used to. If I tell you the things that I've been able to do from last year. So last year was the first time I did not watch Big Brother. And I did not die. I'm fine. I'm here. No withdrawal syndrome. Nothing happened. I did not even realize that Big Brother was happening. Same thing as this year. But if I tell you the things that I've been able to learn, the books that I've been able to read from that time till today, the messages that I have listened to, by the grace of God, this year, my father in the Lord started something. It's called Engrafted Words. And so every week, he releases, as he's led by the Spirit, he releases at least between 2 to 3 messages for the week. I don't know how long we started that. I can't remember how far ago we started. Maybe the month of February or March. I can't remember. But you know, since the day he started releasing Engrafted Words till today, I have not missed even one message. And so in one week, if he released 3 messages, it means that in 4 weeks, if you listen to 3 messages, that's how many? 12. So do that by 12. In a year, that is how many? 144. Power-packed messages. Life-changing messages. Life-transforming messages. That is what I do. Every day, I am a 9-to-5 mom. I work. I go to the office. But I have found a way to insert the time for Engrafted Words in my schedule. When I wake up in the I'm always waiting for Wednesdays because it's released on Wednesdays. And I know that number one on the roll call is the message he preached on Sunday. So already Monday, I have already listened to the message for Sunday. And I'm waiting for Wednesday because by Wednesday, as the message comes out, as I wake up from sleep, I start playing it. I go to the bathroom, my phone is playing. As I'm dressing up, my phone is playing. As I enter my car to take my son to school, school runs, I'm listening to all of them. My driver is tired of me, but he will be transformed by force because his message every day, there's nothing we listen to in that car. I'm listening. Now, of course, the drive in Abuja sometimes with traffic, it can take some time. So most times by the time I eventually get to office, I have maybe just 15 minutes left from his message. And you people know apostles' messages are long. They are very long. But by the time I get to the office, I have maybe just 15 more minutes. And so, depending on how busy or not busy I am, I'll finish it. Maybe when I'm on my way back, I continue the process. And I finish and I enter the second one. So by the time you know, before Saturday, I don't finish. I finished. Mind you, that's not the only thing I do. I am also an event planner, by the way, on the side. That's my side hustle. So, if I have a job, an event planning job, I do that as well. And I do it excellently. Mediocrity and me, we are far. You cannot. Myself and mediocrity, no. We are light and dark. Light and darkness. And I'm just here to encourage and challenge you guys today. Because if I can do it, then you can do it. Why? Because like I said, first of all, me too, I'm a daughter of the land. I am born and bred here. In fact, I was born in Nakowa Hospital. I went to Ruby Model School. Just in case you don't know. Yes, I went to Unimed, part one and part two. So I am a full grown daughter of Maiduguri. But if God can use me, if God can transform me, then he can transform each and every one of you. And I want to believe that by the end of tonight, this where you are right now is the least you will ever be in life and in destiny. Now, the next issue on knowing God that I want to talk about is intimacy. Intimacy. You know, most times when we want to relate with God, most of us, we relate with him on a transactional basis. In the morning, okay, well, I woke up. They said, when we wake up, what we are supposed to do is to pray. So let me just commit my day into God's hands before I will go out and come back, and I will not come back again. So let me just pray. Then we just quickly, Father, in the name of Jesus, I commit today. Amen, amen. Finish. Then the next one is, this project. I need one kingdom financier who will sow a seed in my life. Let me start to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, send me a destiny helper. Send me somebody. And God is just looking at you because he wants a relationship. A relationship. And that is why in the book of Psalms, David said, who is man that you are mindful of him? What is it about man? Maybe you can just raise stones. Maybe you can just tell the trees, worship me. And they will worship. So what is it about man? But he wants a fellowship. He wants partnership. He wants a relationship with us. And today I want to tell you that one of the ways that you can know God, in fact, this is like the easiest way you can know God, is to have a relationship with him. And you know, because we are human beings, we are made in the image and the likeness of God. So you know, when you are in a relationship, if you wake up in the morning and you don't see missed call from your partner, it's a problem. Because when you call, how far? If you just hear that the person is outside, so you woke up. You know, you've even gone out. You do not even message me. You do not even call me. Then later, after another 10 minutes, we'll send message. Babe, how far? Have you eaten? Have you done this? Have you done that? For those who are married, my husband, my wife, you've not called me. You've not spoken to me. So if we as men are needy of that relationship, how much more about God? He actually wants that fellowship. He wants that intimacy. And that is one of the ways that you can know him. Genuinely press to know him. Because when you know him, He will automatically bring you in alignment with everything that he's doing. And you will never, when I say never, you can never make a mistake when you walk with God. Never. For you, it might be a mistake, but it is not a mistake with him, because nothing, like I said, catches him by surprise. And so the last point here on knowing God is empowerment. And empowerment is the evidence of our alignment. And let me have the book of Luke, Luke 24 verse 49. Said, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. Somebody say power. Say power. Oh. Hey. Because you need power. Oh. If you want to walk with God, you need power. 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 Serious power. You need the Holy Spirit, because he's the one, he's the force behind power. So when I say power, I mean the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit to endue you with power, because guess what? Without power, alignment fades. And that is why a lot of people who make it in life are not able to sustain where they are, because there's no power. The Holy Spirit is not there. And you know what we know how to do is, again, man, we are very funny. When you are hungry and you are looking for God to help you, to lift you, you have time for him. You will give him your everything. You will pray, you will fast, you will, but the moment you enter into the wealthy place, that is it. I've become a big boy. Let me raise intercessors. Let them be praying for me. Let me pay pastors. Let me just come and be bribing them with seed. So as I'm sowing seed, they will be remembering me and be putting my name number one on their prayer list. You are deceiving yourself. Oh. The Holy Spirit is our advantage. He is the one who differentiates or separates a Moses, the stammerer, to Moses, the deliverer. It is the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit who transforms Esther, an orphan girl, to become a queen. It is the Holy Spirit. And so without the Holy Spirit, you can do nothing. It takes the Holy Spirit to transform you. It takes the Holy Spirit to empower you. It takes the Holy Spirit to sustain you. And so if you really want to be a woman on the front lines, I'm sorry, I know I took you on a journey, but I've come back to where we started. If you really want to be a woman on the front lines, you must be in alignment. And before you can be in alignment, you must know God. And the way that you can know God first is salvation. And after you become saved, transformation. And transformation, like I say, is an ongoing process. You never graduate from the school of transformation. So as you are pressing for transformation, you also press for empowerment. They go hand in hand. You also press. And by the time you enter that level, we can't be talking about salvation again, because you have gone way ahead. And at that level, it is now your time to raise other women to be on the front lines, like I am tonight. Have we been blessed? Have we been blessed? Why don't we rise as we pray? King of my life, you are my own, and I live for you alone. King of my life, you have my own. very simple song. My will is yours. You're the king of my life. My heart. Journey with him, but you are no longer with him. I just need bold women to come out tonight and say, Lord, my will is yours. My mind is yours. As we sang the song, it's not a song, it's a ministration. So just open up your hearts to him tonight and ask him to come in. Quickly, please. If you know that you want to, even if it's just one person, that the Holy Spirit is convicting tonight and is asking you to come back, don't worry about the people sitting next to you. Because tomorrow when you are standing on this stage, it's not about them. It will be about him. So I will just sing it once again. My heart is yours. My mind is yours. My will is yours. You're the king of my life. Jeremiah 17:14. As I was coming here tonight, the Lord asked me to pray this prayer. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for you are my praise. And so this part of this prayer, it's called solical healing. It's not physical healing. We will get into that. But this is solical healing. And this is for people who have gone through trauma, who have been abused, who have gone through emotional pains. You have been disappointed one too many times. People you trusted took advantage of you. A friend of yours said, come and escort me, let's go somewhere. And you went there, and somehow someone sexually assaulted you. This is the moment the Lord is asking you. He's saying you don't have to come out. This one, you don't have to come out. Please, all eyes closed. This is between you and God. He's saying, I want to heal you tonight. I want to change you tonight. It's a solical healing, like I said. Somebody has disappointed you. Maybe somebody promised you marriage and he just took off and left you. And you're holding that pain. You're holding that grudge in your heart. Or somebody annoyed you. You refuse to forgive. you have issues of unforgiveness, or you lost a loved one and you felt, God, why me? I am a testament of somebody who lost a very dear loved one. I lost my mother when I was 14 and I'm her only child. So you can imagine the pain, the grief, the loss, the disappointment, the confusion. But all it took was the Holy Spirit to do a work in my heart. And so I just want to lead you in prayers. Just go ahead and pray and close your eyes. Just close your eyes and ask the Holy Spirit to heal you. Heal you. You know your area of pain. You know your area of disappointment. Just go ahead and ask Him to heal you.
If you're my mind, if you're my will, if you're the King of my life.
It takes Jesus. Only Jesus can heal you. It's not antidepressants. It's not drugs. It's not medication. Only Jesus can heal you. If you are dealing with depression, only Jesus can take that away. You are dealing with any mental issue, only Jesus can take that away. So cast your cares upon Him. Cast your burdens upon Him. Some of you are mothers here. The lives of your children are not going the trajectory that you expected it to go. And you're wondering, God, why? What is happening? Go ahead and talk to Him. Talk to Him. He makes all things new. He makes all things possible. He makes all things new. Hallelujah. And if you're feeling any pains, if you came here with any physical pain in your body, you came here with a pain, just lay your hands there. It's not me. It's not about me. It's about the person behind me. And He's asking that you lay your hands. Just lay your hands where you're feeling the pain. And believe Him. Cast your cares upon Him. Believe by faith that you are healed. Because He says in His word, can I have Isaiah 53 verse 5? Isaiah 53 verse 5. He said, but He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon Him. But by His stripes we are healed. Not by my stripes. I'm not the one who heals men. He is the one who heals men. So just believe in that word, that by His stripes you are healed. Radabasi kabara shadabai, marede kedebosi kabai, rekada baba 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 bashi kada baba baba kada ba, rede kedebosi kabai, rada kata baba baba bashi kada baba baba kada ba, rede kedebosi kada ba, marada kata baba 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 kada ba, rede kedebosi kada ba, marasa taka baba 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 kada ba, marada da 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 kada ba, rekedebosi. Father, you said in your word that by your stripes we are healed. You died on the cross of Calvary for our salvation. You died on the cross of Calvary for our sickness. You died on the cross of Calvary to take away our pain. You died on the cross of Calvary for our sake. And Lord, your people have come before you tonight. They ask that you heal them. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask, Lord, that you stretch forth your healing hands across this room and you heal your children. You heal your sons. You heal your daughters. As I connect my faith with their faith, Lord, we ask that they will come back here with testimonies, testimonies of healing, testimonies of transformation, testimonies of salvation. Lord, we give you all the glory. Be thou exalted, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord God Almighty, for in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Why don't you go ahead and give Jesus a loud shout of praise?
If you've been blessed or inspired by this message, you can connect with us by liking our Facebook page and subscribing to our YouTube channel at Sons of Glory Network International.